For today's sermon, we will be revisiting the speeches and the writings of Dr. King with correlating scriptures and songs. At this time in our nation, this time of grave concern for human rights, when the gains of the civil rights movement are under threat, Dr. King's eloquent expressions are fitting. They remind us of the need to continue the struggle for justice, for equality, and peace. Hear now these voices from the past calling us into the future.
I still believe that love is the most durable power in the world. Over the centuries, men have sought to discover the highest good. This has been the chief quest of ethical philosophy. This was one of the big questions of Greek philosophy. The Epicurean and the Stoics sought to answer it. Plato and Aristotle sought to answer it. What is the summum bonum of life? I think I have an answer, America. I think I have discovered the highest good. It is love. This principle stands at the center of the cosmos. As John says, God is love. He who loves is a participant in the being of God. He who hates does not know God.
If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I gave away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. And now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love.
I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. In the offerings of the well-being of your fatted animals, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God.
Dr. King's advocacy for nonviolent direct action was labeled as extremism. In response, he wrote, "I must admit that I was initially disappointed in being so categorized, but as I continued to think about the matter, I gradually gained a bit of satisfaction from being considered an extremist. Was not Jesus an extremist in love? Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. Was not Amos an extremist for justice? Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Was not Paul an extremist for the gospel of Jesus Christ? I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Was not Martin Luther an extremist? Here I stand, I can do no other, so help me God." Was not John Bunyan an extremist? I will stay in jail to the end of my days before I make a mockery of my conscience. Was not Abraham Lincoln an extremist? This nation cannot survive half slave and half free. Was not Thomas Jefferson an extremist? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. So the question is not whether we will be extremists, but what kind of extremists we will be. Will we be extremists for hate, or will we be extremists for love? Will we be extremists for the preservation of injustice, or will we be extremists for the cause of justice?
Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and God will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in.
I have the audacity to believe that peoples everywhere can have three meals a day for their bodies, education and culture for their minds, and dignity, equality, and freedom for their spirits. I believe that what self-centered men have torn down, men other-centered can build up. I still believe that one day mankind will bow before the altars of God and be crowned triumphant over war and bloodshed, and nonviolent, redemptive good will proclaim the rule of the land. And the lion and the lamb shall lie down together, and every man shall sit under his own vine and fig tree, and none shall be afraid. I still believe that we shall overcome.
Well, I don't know what will happen now. We've got some difficult days ahead. But it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. And I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up the mountain. And I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Dr. King was murdered the following day. And we hear still the echo of his conviction, of his faith, of his certainty in those words that he read that night. While amazing strides have been made in the cause of civil rights, amazing strides made back then and in more recent time too, there is still a long, long road ahead of us, friends. God is calling us, in the words of the prophet Isaiah, to be repairers of the breach, to be restorers of the streets that we live in. As Jesus said, we're to hold fast to God with all our might, to love God with all our minds, all our souls, and all our hearts, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. This is not a call to sit back. It is a call to stand up. It is a call to stand up and to take action. As children of God, we have the right and the responsibility to expect that our voices, our cries for justice are heard. We, as the body of Christ, the eyes, the hands, and the feet of Christ in this world, need to be attending to the needs of the world. If we will not stand up for our immigrant brothers and sisters, then who will? If we will not stand up to secure human rights, voting rights, then who will? If we will not stand up for our LGBTQ family, then who will? If we will not stand up for those who have been lost, left out, who are considered to be the least, then who will? We stand up not out of some arbitrary political affiliation. We do not stand up out of a sense of secular philosophy. We stand up because Jesus Christ calls us to love God with all that we are and all that we have, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. If not us, then who? Friends, we must take a stand. We must be willing to stand up, and more so, to follow where God is leading us in this time and in this place. We, you and I, must reach the promised land. We must have faith that the God who guided Dr. King, who guided the prophets of old, who guided those magi to find that baby in Bethlehem, this God, our God, guides us still. And we, as a people, a whole beautiful, diverse people, all of us, we can and we will see the promised land. Amen.